Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Grace View, a discussion forum of life-enriching topics that pertain to family, men, philosophical perspectives, women, and singles. The Grace View is a production of John Davis Marshall and the Solomon Society. The Grace View may be heard live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-989-0722. Or it can be heard anytime online at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View. Now, stay tuned for today's episode of Manage Masculinity. If you have a question or comment, please dial the number 1 on your phone and we will give you the opportunity to speak.
Good evening, everyone. This is your moderator, Robert McFall, and I will be queuing in the host, to which he will be speaking this evening. And I just once again want to thank everybody for calling in to Manage Masculinity. And our host is on the air.
How are you doing, Brother McFall? This is Brother Ron Waring. How are you, sir?
How are you doing there, Robert Waring? I'm doing good.
All right. I met you down in Atlanta at the gala, didn't I, sir?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I'm sorry, that night was very busy. It was a wonderful evening, but we did not get a chance to really talk. But I do want to thank you for all that you're doing with the Grace Network, Grace Nurture, and well as the Solomon Society. And I do greatly appreciate you being a host as we do these calls. So I wanted to thank you for that. I also have some brothers from my church that should be dialing in. If they would hit number 1, so Brother Cowers, Brother Charlie Childs, and I don't know if Brother Pritchard is available or not, but if you'll hit number 1 so we can bring you up and he can unmute your lines.
Okay, I believe we have them. Just hold on 1 second. Call us down to 5794 and 9435. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is Charlie.
Hey.
Thank you, my brothers. We appreciate you all so very much, and we appreciate all that are listening out there tonight. We are going to continue our series on men of courage, and we're asking the question, are you men of courage? We've been doing a study on men's masculinity on the first Tuesday of each month, and we've been looking at and talking about being men of courage. There was a movie that was put out a number of years ago, and it talked about courageous, honor begins at home. And although we're not just trying to recreate the movie, it was a great movie, and it talked about men and their homes and being what we are supposed to do, and it looked at 4 different men and at 4 different stages in their lives, and the movie was just a good sounding board, and it brought up a lot of different scenarios. And what we've been trying to do is take those scenarios and talk about those scenarios as men and use those as our discussion about managing masculinity. And with that being said, I've got some Bible verses that I would like for my guys to help us with right now. And these are some verses just to get us in our mindset about being good, godly fathers. So I'm going to bear with me for a minute, and I'm going to ask Charlie to read the first one and then Jerome the second one, and I'm going to give you all a couple of verses if you'll write them down, gentlemen. Charlie, Exodus 20 and 12, Jerome, Joshua 24:15. Charlie, Psalms 103:13. Jerome, Psalms 112:1-2. Charlie, Proverbs 3:11-12, Jerome, Proverbs 22:6, Charlie, Ephesians 6:4, and Jerome, Colossians 3:21. And we're going to read those scriptures, and I want to do that because I think it's important for us as we talk to make sure we've got a Bible background, a Bible base. And I've used these scriptures before, but I think it's important for us to see what the Word of God says about fathers and being godly men, being men of courage. So if you all don't mind, if you'll give me the first scripture, Exodus 20:12.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 reads, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee."
Here we see that the Bible tells us that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers, and this was given back in Exodus. We also hear that back in Ephesus and Ephesians as well, but it's one of the first promises with commandments with a promise that our days may be long. So we have a responsibility to honor our parents, and so that's something we need to keep in mind. What does Joshua 24:15 say?
"And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of this flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
All right. Here we see Joshua as he gives his command, or he gives a challenge to the children of Israel as he's giving his parting. He's an older man now. They fought the battles. They're getting ready to inherit the land. And Joshua says to the children of Israel that they need to make a choice, and they need to decide whether they're going to serve God or serve other things. But he makes a bold statement about his house that they're going to serve the Lord.
Psalms 103, verse 13 reads, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him."
All right. The Bible says, like a father to his children, so does the Lord have compassion to those that fear him. So he compares our Heavenly Father God to us as fathers. And I want to take a minute to think, I don't know if we realize how awesome that is, that God wants us to be like him. Therefore, that's a point that he made. Proverbs 3:11-12. Oh, I'm sorry, Psalms 1:12.
You said Psalms 1:12?
Yes, sir. Psalms 1:12-1-2.
"Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delight greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed."
Now here we see that the Bible says, the psalmist says, that when we as men fear the Lord and we do what we need to do, that our generations, our children, will be blessed. And so we are not the sole cause, but we can either be a source of blessings or a source of curses for our descendants. So we need to keep that in mind. All right, Proverbs 3:11-12, Charlie.
Proverbs chapter 3:11-12 reads, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth."
You know, the Bible here says that we need to not chasten us when God gives us a chastisement. He loves us, and because he loves us, he chastens us sometimes. is like a father does to a son. If I love my son and I want my son to be the best, I'm going to sometimes say, no, you can't do this, or sometimes, no, you can't do that. Not because I hate him, but because I love him and I want the very best for him. And so once again, we see how God talks about how God, Father, to us, that we ought to also be fathers to our children. Proverbs 22 and 6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Oh, wow. Such an awesome, it's a short verse, but so awesome. The Bible says, if we train up our children in the way that should go, when they are older, they will not depart. And so it gives us such a great responsibility for setting a good foundation and giving them that training when they're young. If we do that, they have an anchor for later in life. All right. Ephesians 6 and 4. Ephesians 6.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 reads, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonishment of the Lord."
Here we see that Paul tells the church at Ephesus that fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the training and the instructions of the Lord. And so we have that commandment. And the last scripture for right now is Colossians 3 and 21.
Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged.
All right. Fathers, don't provoke your children. When you provoke your children, you can cause them to become discouraged. So many times, we don't realize it as fathers, the impact we have on our children. And sometimes our children are waiting and, you know, a word of encouragement, a kind word, a positive word from their father can make such a big difference with our children. And so we have to be very careful about that. Now, I know if you're listening, you say, well, why is Pete just reading all these scriptures, these random scriptures? Well, I read scriptures that are going to deal with things that we're going to talk about. And so in case I don't call the scripture as we're going through a particular scenario, I want you to know these are scriptures that are the background for our discussion. And we're talking about being men of courage and especially being fathers. I'm very passionate about that. I make no bones about it, that I believe that one of our greatest responsibilities as men, our greatest joy, both responsibility and joy, is that of being good, strong, positive, godly fathers. And so we are so thankful and appreciative when God gives us this opportunity. I want to talk with us a little bit tonight. There were a couple of things that we were talking about, and as I said, we were mentioning that movie Courageous, because it kind of cataloged four different men, and there were four police officers. And there's the main character, and I just want to give those who are not familiar with the movie. And as we're talking about it, whether Charlie has seen it now, he hadn't seen it before, and I want to get his input, but we have the main character of the movie who loses a daughter in a tragic accident. And all four of these guys are police officers in a rural county in Georgia. And for the one guy, he loses his daughter, and he has a daughter and a son. He loses his daughter tragically, and it just kind of rocks his world. And so the first night we talked about tragedy and how to deal with tragedy. We've got this black police officer who had a situation where his truck was stolen, and his daughter was in, his baby child was in the truck, and he wrestled and he fought for it. And I had the question before us, what are we willing to fight for? What are we willing to make sacrifices for? sometimes we fight over foolishness, and we sit down when it comes down to the things that are most important. You know, somebody will go to the park and they'll get into an argument. They're willing to fight over something stupid. Someone looked at me wrong. Someone did something. But when it comes down to our children and their souls and their well-being, are we willing to make the sacrifices to fight to help them be where God would have them to be? And that's something that we need to really look at. The third character in there is a younger guy who's he's a rookie and he's just starting out. But as they dig deeper, they realize that that rookie has some skeletons in his closet of the fact that he had a child that he had never really acknowledged and he hadn't done anything for the child. And so that's going to come to light, and he's going to be challenged to make a difference in his life. And then the last character is one who knows what's right but is making some bad choices, and because of that he breaks the law and he's going to have to suffer the consequences. So I'm going to ask Brother Charlie, give me your opinion of the movie. What did you think, sir?
I enjoyed that movie very much. All the characters you just mentioned can play a key role in every man's life, every situation they went through. The man not spending time, wanting to spend time with your children, but you neglect. Well, your child want to spend time with you, but you neglect to spend time with that child, and all of a sudden something happens. So you end up that he lost his daughter in the movie, and that hurt him dearly. And that would most definitely hurt me if my child wanted to spend time with me and all of a sudden something happens to the child, and that's going to hurt. That's going to sit on me more than probably what happened to the child, regretting that fact that I didn't initiate myself to be with that child and do what I need to do for that child at that time of the calling. So it's just a lot of more great points of that movie though. But that's one of the biggest, it's so many big points in that movie. But I know that one just stand out to me most definitely, and there's a lot of more great other points in the movie. I'm pretty sure they'll come out as we discuss, but that's the first one that's come out on top of my head. But also when he realized that he did mess up with that child, his son was asking him to run with him, and he never would run with his son. And finally he gave in to his son after that happened to his daughter and ran the race with his son. And the son was very happy that that happened. So he realized his faults, and he corrected those faults and ended up running the race with his son. So sometimes we have to have a life lesson to stir us up, to make us do what we need to do, especially for God's will. And it's most important that we spend time with our kids every chance that we get, or somebody else will, and it may be the wrong person.
Very good point. Let's talk about that since we're talking about it. Spending time with our kids as men, I realize that we've got a lot of things going on. We've got to work. A lot of times we work on jobs that are hard. Our jobs are stressful. When you come home, you got the job to worry about. But then sometimes we've got things on top of the job. Maybe we're in school, or maybe we're doing certain things. And so we've got all of that. You've got bills. You've got responsibility. With all of those things going on, how important is it to find and to be able to have not just time, but quality time with our families? Let's talk about that. Brother Cowan, Brother McFall, and anybody that's listening in, let's talk about spending quality time with our families. Any comments on that?
Yeah, this is Jerome here, Brother Warren. The first thing that came to mind when you talk about spending time with our family and making time, it reminds me of a sermon that you like to preach, looking for love in all the wrong places. Another point that Charlie made, if we don't spend time with them now, as they get older, they will be looking for that type of love. And the first person that showed them some kind of love, whether it be the streets for our boys, or, you know, the pimp for our daughters, you know, the first person that comes around and show them love, they'll be more apt to live that type of lifestyle. So it's truly, truly important that we invest in our children today for a brighter future tomorrow. So we need to make sure that we, I know we're tired, we have a lot of things going on, but we need to make sure we make that time to really talk to our children, see what's going on in their circle, spend that quality time with them, you know, because it's so, so, so important.
This is our brother Paul. I agree, and I go a step further because in my situation when I was in the military, I was fortunate enough to at certain points to spend time with my kids and everything during that time frame as they was growing up, and part of it was very important. But there was times where it was kind of hard because when you go on ships, and you in and out, and you're going, you know, away, you know, from your family for a period of time, it's hard to really spend that quality time because you're constantly gone. So you do have to try to find that time when you do come in to try to fight through the tough times where you want to rest, you want to relax, or I need to do this, I need to do that, because you don't have that much time before you go back out again to spend time with them because of the fact that I believe, and I truly believe, especially with your daughters, sons is important, but I think especially with your daughters, that if you don't show that you care, or you don't show that you're there to be with them and sit down just with the simple things, you don't have to do much, but the simple things, I think they do remember that, and they feel like, okay, now when they get of age, they don't really want to be bothered. And I always remember this at my downtime when I was getting ready to retire. God knew what was needed for me to do, and it was that time for me to retire and really let things go and get back, because my daughter needed me the most, because she was, you know, I noticed how off and on when I'm gone, her attitude changed a little. Her schoolwork wasn't where it needed to be, but every time I came back, I was able to get her back on track. So it was that time for me to retire and really spend that quality time and get her right on track. And with that being said, God showed me where I was able to get her added to the body with some sisters that helped me out. I was able to also get her through high school, which she was able to graduate. And it's not saying that she needed the help, but I think she needed that structure to guide her, to keep her focused, because she's smart enough as it is. And I think if we fail to realize that sometimes, even though we think our kids are smart, that they can go on autopilot, but I think what it is they don't need to be on autopilot. They just need a little guidance to keep their minds focused on what really is at hand. So I just want to say it's the spend quality time. I really think that you have to, because if not, I agree with what the brother said before. They remember that, and you lose that at the end when they start to get older and they really don't want to talk to you.
All right, thank you. I appreciate all that great input. If we have anybody out there listening that would like to chime in, we would love to hear from you. Only thing you need to do is hit 1, and Brother McFall will bring you up, and you can make your question or your comment. We're going to go to talk about fathers, daughters a little bit more in a minute, but I want to go back to something we were saying, not just spending time, but quality time. And there's a difference between spending time and quality time. I can sit in a room with my boys, if I have boys, or my daughter, and play a video game, and the only thing we're doing is I'm hitting the button and they're hitting the button. I'm hitting the button and they're hitting the button. I didn't ask them anything about their day. We didn't talk anything. I did not share any knowledge with them. I did not find out anything from them. The only thing we did was play the game. Yes, we spent time, but did we spend quality time? Sometimes we're going to have to open up and communicate. And it's so important for us to communicate. As men, do we know What do we know about our children? And I'm challenging us as we talk about managing masculinity. What do we know about our children? Are we finding out who their friends are? And I'm not saying being everything, but we kind of need to know who the guys my boys are hanging out with and what are those guys about. Who are the girls my daughters are hanging out with and what are those girls about? Because there's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. What instructions are we giving our children? And every time should not be an opportunity where we're just drilling them, but we need to be able to have that quality time when we are sharing our values and helping them form their values. I can't tell you what your value ought to be. I mean, I can't make your values be what I want them to be, but I can help you develop your values. And we do that by spending time with our children. And so I think that is so, so very important. I like what Bill McFaul said, just being in the military. And you know, sometimes with our jobs, there are times when we can't be at everything. I've mentioned many times talking about me and my father and our relationship and how when I played football, my daddy was at, I think, all of my football games except for two. I played baseball as well, and he couldn't be at every baseball game because you had games all the time. But he was there, and I knew he was there. And when he wasn't there, I knew he was working or doing something else. But our children need to know that they have a place of priority in our lives. And so that's very, very important. So I think that essence of quality time is so important. We do need to work. We do need to take care of our other obligations. But we must find time as men to have quality time with our families. And that is so very, very important. I want to share something else with you. And I don't want folks to get in trouble financially. But you need to plan to go on trips with your children, with your family every now and then. And it doesn't have to be anything great. One of the fondest memories I have growing up, we lived about 45 minutes from Myrtle Beach, but there was a little park, Huntington Beach State Park. And I can remember as a kid, on a Saturday, Daddy would get off. He worked half a day on Saturday. He would get off, and we would only go ever so often, but we would just go to the beach, and nothing more than cooking a hamburger and spending some time. But those were memories that you have later on of spending time as a family. And so I think that is so important that we do that. And guys, I want to share something with you. It's good to go to the park, but be careful that you don't spend all your time playing basketball with other guys, because you can miss out on doing something with your children if you're there but you're not spending time with them. So find that balance. Find that balance. Let's go on to another thing. Our daughters. In the movie, there is the black policeman. His name's Nathan in the movie. He has a daughter that's 15 years old, and they talk about, and the issue comes up about her dating. There's a young man that wants to just kind of, he rolls by and wants her just to go with him. And the father is very stern. He says, no, my daughter's not going. She's not allowed to go out. And if she goes with anybody, I need to know who she's going with, and I need to know what you're about. With that being said, the first interaction was very negative, and the daughter was really mad and just really upset with her father. After they did the resolution and the father started thinking about it, he came up with a very creative way to help his daughter understand what was going on. And it was a father-daughter dinner. and he got his daughter dressed up. He dressed up, his daughter dressed up. They went out to a nice restaurant, and he talked to her about her being treated like a lady. He modeled how she should be treated, and he talked to her about the fact that he wants her to make sure that a young man treats her like she ought to be treated. Now, with that being said, we started a number of years ago after this, we started doing a father-daughter dinner at church. And we did it in the first year. We did it. It was great. Had great turnout. The next year, it was not as great. The third year, and this year, you know, it's fizzled down that we didn't even get to do it. Now, I say that because, I mention that because we as fathers, and it's not so much a particular meal, but if we do not consistently teach our daughters that they are special and they need to be treated special, and I don't mean they need to be queen bee, but I mean they need to be treated like a lady. They need to act like a lady. And they need not let a guy treat her anything other than like a lady. But if we do not put forth that effort to teach them that, where are they going to get it at? Just throwing that out there. What do y'all think about the issue of fathers and helping their daughters to set boundaries and carry themselves a certain way? Love to hear from you, my guys. Anybody out there in the audience, call in, hit one, and let us know what you think about that. Any of my guys on the panel want to talk as we wait for callers?
For me, and I guess because I do have a daughter, and she's 22 now, and I have my ups and downs and bruises with her and everything, but I thank God for what he was able to do, because I want to say this, and I might be, you know, I'm not going to say much about it, but this is just my outtake. At the time, being a single parent and me raising my daughter and everything, I felt it was a crucial time, and it was a time for me to stay home. And I'm glad retirement was coming around the corner, and it wasn't coming around soon enough. And I noticed that it was time for me to be there because of the fact that she, you know, as a teenager, you know, we always say this for boys, but as well as girls, that they start to come on their own, and now they, you know, they can go either way. And they start hanging around their girlfriends that like to dress certain type of way, do this and do that, you have a you know, there's an outside chance that you're going to have problems with that. But if you're able to at least grab them before they really get rooted into that culture, then you can have a good chance of having a positive outlook. I never really, you know, had to tell her, you can't wear this, you can't wear that, this and that. But I think with her own ability of thinking, well, that don't look right, I don't like this, that me just telling her just little bitty things, what to do and what not to do, kind of, you know, helped her to stay focused. And like I said, that was the year where God showed me where I had to take my daughter to church. I had to bring her and get her there. And as she grown into going to church and getting baptized and added to the body, her thought process was really changing and being more firm to what she is in, what she's right now. And that she had sisters in the body that helped me and kind of, you know, showed her or gave her, you know, gave her reasons what not to do and how not to do and all these different things, that she didn't really follow the crowd. She does her own thing. Even when I kind of like, she's focused that way. And I wouldn't want to change it no other way, because then by her going on her own, at least I know for a fact that she's not going to follow the crowd and she'll do what is right. And I think that's the way that she's stand out and turned away from that. She's done different things within the church. And she stayed positive. And I'd always say this, I give this to God because it's not all on me. I had something to do with it, but it was mainly God, because of the fact that she did not turn out to be like some girls that you have to have really issues with. And not saying that she's no better than the other girls that I've seen and teenagers and everything, but I just thank God that where she's at right now, that she's in the right place and she's doing what is right, and I don't really have to push her to do too much. I do have to guide her a little bit and knock in the head a couple of times with this you need to get done. But overall, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to not dressing or not putting yourself out there in a certain type of way, she stands firm and not doing that because she doesn't like all that. She told me one time, and I just cut this short. She told me this one time, this statement she made. She said, "I don't know why girls or women like to show their skin. I don't like all that skin showing. If you got all that, you want to show all that skin, just stay away from me." I was like, wow, okay, why do that? It kind of threw me off, but I kind of understood what she was saying, because there are some women that like to show the legs, show more of the cleavage and all these different things, and they don't realize that you can attract the wrong type of attention when you do that. So she's on autopilot, and I just thank God for where she's at right now.
Amen.
Go
ahead, Brother Gerald.
Yeah, I want to chime in from a different angle, Brother Warren. As I've been doing a series on legacy, and statistics show, I don't have it right directly in front of me right now. I've got the statistics, the actual numbers. But it talks about how children tend to follow the character traits after their parents. I think it's so important that we set the example within our home, saying that as men, we should show a level of respect for our wives, because our daughters especially are watching how we're treating their mother. And if they're seeing the mother get abused and cursed out and everything like that, our daughters will tend to date someone that's like their father. So I think it's extremely, extremely important that if we want our daughters to date the right type of guys, they need to see how we are treating their mothers.
And Brother Warren, I just want to chime in real quick. I like what the brother said, and it just came to my mind, and this is something to which my preacher, Brother Kinson, had told me, and he tell all of us, but he always says this: don't ever talk bad about the other parent in front of your child, because once you do that, you plant a seed in their head on how they are, how they act, or whatever the case may be. So even though that me and her mother was no longer together, I never talked bad about her. I never said anything negative towards her. I just allowed my daughter and her mother to try to have a relationship to where between those two. I gave a little guidance, but I mainly just allowed them to do that. And I encouraged her. I had to maybe comfort her a couple of times during that time frame, but I made sure that I did not say one bad thing about her mother and allow that relationship to grow. And that's, as fathers, that's something I think, even if you with the mother or not, is important that you don't talk bad about the other parent, because once you do that, you can cause friction between that child and the other spouse, or the other parent, should I say.
All right. I agree with both what you all are both saying, and I think it is so important. I think the role models that we set as men, it has a rippling impact. And Brother Collins, that statistic is true. Girls tend to marry guys that are like their father. Not always, but they tend to gravitate. Sometimes you get some that go in the totally opposite direction, but for the most part, they do. And so it's very important that we set good role models. But I also think it's important that as fathers, we set that guidance and we are there. We spend that time with our daughters as well as with our sons. I happen to have two daughters, and so I look at it from father-daughter relationship. But even if you have sons, we've got to set the right example and tone for our sons when it comes down to relationships. Because just like you said, Brother Collins, about if we're abusive to or we mistreat our wives, that is going to affect our daughters. Well, it still has that same effect on our sons because they're seeing that, and they will tend to imitate that same type of behavior. And so these are some very, very important things that we have to be and realize the impact that we have. Do we have any callers out there tonight that have any comments, questions, anything that they would like to add to the discussion? If not, anything else but can y'all see the importance of spending that quality time and doing those things with our daughters so that we can help them to realize how important it is and how to be a good, how to look for good characters in young men?
I'll just chime in on this. It's really important because of the fact that, well, as we said again, though, spending time, quality time, and, you know, with your kids is very important because of the fact that they show that that's showing them that you do care. And two, you know, as we always know, as kids growing up and as we was growing up, we look towards our fathers or if we didn't have a father, a male figure that can help us to do the things that we want to do or did not know how to do or ask for assistance. So when we tend to ignore those things, then that's where I think we lose sight in that. And as my kids was growing up and we was in San Diego, when it came to basketball, I coached the basketball team and I had them on, you know, so I coached them as well. And so that gave me more time to spend time with them and with their friends and then just showing, you know, that, you know, they wasn't, you know, embarrassed or nothing like that. They knew where I stood. So, but doing that, I used that as a time to spend time with them when I couldn't have time otherwise. So when I was able to, I created that time to spend time with them. And so when you do that, you can, you know, you can show them that you care and you show their friends. And it is important, too, because sometimes your kids might not see the reason why you spending time with them, but then you have their friends like saying, wow, that's, you know, I wish, you know, not saying nothing wrong, but sometimes some of them say, I wish my dad shared time with me like that, or your dad is cool. You know, when you get that, when kids get that positive feedback, sometimes that can help them to understand that they got a father that cares, that a father that really wants to spend time with them. And with that being said, I think it will make them feel good because now they're feeling like, wow, he's doing this. Because I have a brother that's in the body that actually helped out and was actually there for this one sister, you know, young sister that was growing up in the body, and he was there at certain events that kind of helped her cling to him as a father figure, and she enjoyed that. So we have to understand that when, and like the brother said, if we don't do it, somebody else will. And you pray and hope that it be somebody that's positive enough to spend that time with your child that can show them the right and wrong and give them that that nourishment that they need in their lives.
I appreciate that, Brother McFarland. I think that is so important. Brother Jerome has been doing, on our 6 o'clock men's call, Brother Jerome has been doing a series on legacy. But Brother Charlie did a lesson Monday that still sticks with me when he just talked about no matter, and I think he talked about Josiah. Could you just give us a synopsis of that right quick, Charlie, when you talked?
Yes, sir, it was Josiah.
Okay. And Josiah's
father. Go ahead. Ahead. Father was a wicked man and his grandfather was a wicked man. But Josiah still had the love of God in his heart. He became king at the age of 8 and did not follow his grandfather's trait. He did not follow his father's trait. He did what was right and what was according to what God would have him to do. And cleaning out the shrines of wickedness and false worship and building back up the temple of God. It's on us as who we are, no matter what somebody else did before us. If they did negative stuff and bad stuff, that doesn't mean that we have to do it. Once that word is put in our heart and we got God's blessing upon us, we must follow and do what we have to do, because it's on us to get ourselves in heaven. And most importantly, what we do now, once we start that trait, we're going to pass that trait on to our kids. We're going to put the word in the word of the Bible in their hearts. And then when we put the word of the Bible in their hearts, they can put the word of the Bible in their kids' hearts. And we start to train ourselves, no matter what people did before us. That was basically my topic that morning.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. And the other thing that he said, and everything he just said was so powerful, but he also mentioned, he was just talking about our congregation and looking at all the kids that we have. We've got a lot of kids at our congregation. And we've got to help them grow and develop. And if we can help them grow and develop and stay in the Lord, and as they grow up, they bring their friends, their spouses, and their children. That's how we get a strong and a growing church, by helping our children grow into their relationship with God. And so I think that is so important as we talk about that. So many times we lose out on a generation because we're not helping them to develop and grow into that relationship with God. So I just wanted to kind of mention that as we're talking about all of this. But I do want to say right now I'm at a stage where I've got a daughter that's just graduated from high school, looking at old pictures and stuff, and as Brother McFarland said, I see the times when me and my wife, we were like the soccer coach or doing something with kids, and not only with them but with other kids as well, but being active and being involved in our kids' lives, it helped us to get to know our kids and helped us to get to know our kids' friends, and that makes a big impact. So I just want to encourage us as men, carve out those times. And I know you may be tired, but you carve out those times so that you can spend some time with your family. All right, before we go, there's one more topic, and I don't know if we'll have enough time to really deal with it. The policeman, Nathan, at the end, or near the end, he had to make a resolution. He talked about the fact that he was almost in a gang and his father was not there. He really didn't know about his father, but he found his father, and his father had died, and he wrote a letter to his father forgiving him for not being there. Now, I talk about forgiveness, and I want to mention that because there's so much going on in and around us right now, but I've done a series of lessons on forgiveness, and I'll probably do some more talking about forgiveness, but forgiveness is such a powerful thing. And as men, we have to forgive folks who have done us wrong and move on. Sometimes folks hold on to pain, they hold on to hurt, they hold on to misdoings, and because they're holding on to that pain, they build walls up around them so that they cannot move forward. And so I just want to echo that for a minute. I think it's Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, when Joseph told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And I say that to simply say there's some things that will happen and have happened and may happen in us, with us, around us. They may have meant it for evil, but God can use it for good. And so I just wanted to talk a minute about that thing of forgiveness. I was counseling a couple of years ago. They were thinking about getting married, and I was counseling. And I started asking just about family dynamics because I really didn't know the couple. But I was asking them, and that's something that I normally do. And I wanted them to talk about their families and that relationship. And when I started talking to the gentleman, he was very angry of things that had happened with his father. And he would never talk about it. And that set up a red flag for me because he was holding on to something. And every time I tried to get him to talk about it, he would not talk about that. And so the fact that he would not talk about the pain that had happened in that relationship set up red flags that if he does not deal with that pain, it's going to hurt him moving forward. And so I just want to mention to us that sometimes we've got to forgive and we've got to move past things that have happened in our past so that we can move forward and it doesn't hinder me from being what I need to be. But in the movie, the gentleman, he wrote the letter. That person was dead and gone, and he went and wrote the letter, and he read the letter at the tombstone of the person and left the letter there, but it was symbolic of the fact that he had forgiven, he had put it in God's hands, and he was moving forward with his life. I mention that as we get close to closing, that we must forgive so that we can move forward and we can be all that God would have us to be. Any thoughts on that process of forgiveness?
I'm make this nice and sweet and short. I did a quick thing yesterday about forgiveness, and my main thing was if we don't learn how to forgive, it will stay within us, and it can cause spiritual issues, it can cause physical issues, mental, it can cause so many issues that we don't really understand, and you got this thing, this sickness, where you get ulcers, you can get headaches, there's so many things tied into that. So I truly believe, like you were saying, that we can't hold on to that, and we have to let go of some of those things, because not, life is too short, and you can cause great danger to yourself if this person that you have not forgiven or let go of those things dies, because now you have to sit there and ponder why I didn't do what I was supposed to have done or should have done. So I just leave it at that.
Charlie, any comments, questions?
Oh, we got like 4 minutes counting, so I know time kind of escaped from us.
Well, I know the Bible commands us to be forgiven, just as God forgives us. It tells that Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye so also do ye. So we're commanded to forgive. We're going to sin against, we are sinners, and we ask God to forgive us for our sins, and God is a forgiving God, so he forgives us. And he also asks us to do, the same. So we must have a forgiving heart, no matter what the situation may be. Like the brother say, we might not have a chance to forgive that person. And then it ends up eating us up even more. So we must forgive as we are commanded to.
Hey, man, I agree with what both brothers said, as well as you, Brother Warren. Forgiveness is so important. We do really need to learn how to let some things go. Sometimes the process is not easy. Sometimes it's hard. But we got to trust God that he will amend our broken hearts and that we have a forgiving heart. Like I said, I know a lot of times it's not easy to let things go. But if we don't, that could possibly be a gatekeeper for us. And not only that, just like what Brother McFall mentioned, it can cause harm and danger and stress upon us. It causes our bodies to have all types of health issues. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's not really worth it.
All right. Well, at this time, we are about at the end of our time. I want to thank those that have been with us tonight. I pray and trust that it's been a blessing to you. 15 seconds, Brother Charlie. Anything you want to say to the folks?
I just want to share the scripture of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them, and thou shalt sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Always remember what the Bible tells us. Talk with our kids. Spend as much time as we can, as I said earlier, or someone else will.
Brother Jerome?
I just want to thank Brother Marshall for allowing us just to come on the network tonight. Thanks to our host, Brother McFall, for facilitating tonight. And just really enjoyed the discussion. And I hope that we have been a blessing to you all. Thank you.
Brother McFall, I want to thank you for being our director, moderating, and allowing us to be here, as well as thanks to Brother Marshall and all those with Solomon Society. We just appreciate this opportunity, and we pray that we've been a blessing to those that listen. I do believe wholeheartedly in the concept of being masculine men, but men of courage. And I do want to leave with that question. Are you a man of Thank you all so much. Now, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. I turn it back over to you, Brother McFall.
Okay, as the time is winding, I just want to thank everybody for calling in. Give Robert Warren and Brother to a round of applause. They might not hear it, but they surely will feel it. Share this with somebody, and I believe this will be a blessing to others. I just want us to realize that Robert Warren will be back again next month, and just listen in. And this is a good topic for us brothers to really have a heart-to-heart talk with one another and encourage one another to do what is right. As we wind down, I just want to thank everybody once again. You all have a blessed night, and until next time, good night.
Good night, my brother.
Good night.